You know, there can come a time in your life when it's time to move instead of pray. You've prayed enough, now it's time to take action.
Motive without motion is meaningless. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us put feet to our prayers.
You can pray and pray and pray, but do what God has told you to do and do and do at the same time. Both need to be happening. So you pray, God, help us. Oh, Lord, Lord, say, okay, whatever. Start walking.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
GPS systems have come a long way over the years. Not only can they show you the best route, but also traffic along the way, cafes, petrol stations, and fast food. You know exactly which way to go and how long it'll take, but you still have to put the car in drive and get moving. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the same is true in our walk with God. After we've prayed for direction and strength, it's time to get moving. It's harder to steer a parked car.
Turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. We're in a series that we're calling Water, Fire, Stone, based on the life of Moses. And the title of the message today is Between Impossible and More Impossible. We're going to look at the nation Israel. They're facing the Red Sea. They're facing an insurmountable obstacle. And right behind them, if that wasn't bad enough, right behind them is the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. So basically, it was them between the devil and the deep blue sea. They were between a rock and a hard place. They were between impossible and more impossible. So what do? As the army is closing in on them, they did what you would do. They completely freaked out, okay? Look at Exodus chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up in panic. And when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they said to Moses, "Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt?" Verse 13, Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." You're joking, right? We're backed up against the Red Sea. They're in hot pursuit. And you're saying, just chill, relax. Everything's great. Oh, this army you see now, they won't even be here tomorrow. Just be still and wait on the Lord. It's not easy to do that, is it? See, when I put my eyes on my circumstances, I can see them in a different light. Unbelief tends to create or magnify my difficulties. But in contrast, faith rises up above them and helps me see them through the eyes of faith. So here's Israel. They're between an unconquerable army and an impassable sea. They're between the devil and the deep blue sea, between a rock and a hard place. Look at Exodus 14, 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea and divide the water so the Israelites can walk through," underline that, those two words, "walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." You know, there can come a time in your life when it's time to move instead of pray. That might sound strange. We should always pray. Yes, we should. But there can come a moment where you've prayed enough. Now it's time to take action. Let's illustrate. Let's say you have a marriage that seems to be falling apart. So you pray. You pray for your husband and you say, "Oh Lord, change the heart of my husband. Help him to love me more. Help him to appreciate me more. Help him to work harder. Lord, just change him. He's such a jerk." Meanwhile, the husband is praying, "Lord, change this wife of mine. Help her to stop nagging me and harassing me and help her to respect me." And that's what you're praying. And you pray these prayers over and over again. Maybe it's time to stop praying and start doing. Start by reading your own mail. And by that I mean read what the Bible says to you. The Bible is very specific in what it says to husbands and wives and how we can have strong marriages. First of all, it says to the husbands, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. So ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. So start by loving your wife. Yeah, pray for her, but love her, because maybe one of the reasons she is the way that she is because you're not doing your part. You see, we love Jesus right now because Jesus first loved us, right? The Bible says you love him because he first loved you. My love for God is a response of God's love for me. And in the marriage, when a husband loves his wife as he ought to love her, she will respond in a different way because he's taken the initiative. Meanwhile, looking at the wife, it says specifically, respect your husband. Respect your husband. When's the last time you told your husband how much you appreciate all that he does for you? Not just all the things he hasn't done, but the things that he does do every single day. See, here's my point. You can pray and pray and pray, but do what God has told you to do and do and do at the same time. Both need to be happening. And maybe it's someone that's wronged you, someone that's hurt you. Someone has said something to you that's been very painful for you. So you pray, Lord, help me forgive this person. Every time I see them, my blood just starts to boil. So what do you do? Oh, I prayed, Lord, take this anger away. Take this bitterness away. That's good. Pray for that. But now here's what next step you need to do. Why don't you just go forgive them? Instead of praying, Lord, give me the strength to forgive them, just go forgive them. Well, I don't feel that. Who cares what you feel? Just do it. I forgive you. You might find that the emotions will follow the act of obedience. Go and do the right thing. Because when you forgive a person, as we pointed out before, you set a prisoner free yourself. Or we're praying, Lord, save so-and-so. Help them come to Jesus. Help them believe in you. Amen. Keep praying for them. But have you engaged them with the gospel yet? See, there's God's part and there's your part. There's a time to pray and there's a time to move. And they're all calling out, oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord. The Lord's saying, okay, whatever. Start walking. And Moses holds up his staff and the water parts and they're walking now through it. And here's another thing I find very interesting. God could have airlifted them over the Red Sea. Could have just picked them up, dropped them over on the other side. They'd be looking at the Egyptians, you know. But the Lord says, oh, I want you to walk through it. And is that not a summation of the Christian life? You know, it's a walk. God doesn't save us and just take us straight to heaven. He saves us. He forgives us. And then we begin our walk with him. And that's what we do for the rest of our life, putting one foot in front of the other. It's a walk of faith, not a walk of feeling. Because the Bible says the just will live by faith. As one person put it, the Christian life is long obedience in the same direction. So every day I just walk by faith, I live by faith, and one day I come to the end of my walk and I enter into eternity. And so we all are in this walk and we're all facing our challenges, and God is bigger than the problems we are facing right now. And so we need to now, as we walk with the Lord, and see the answers he gives to our prayers, to give him the glory. Bringing me to my next point, after overcoming the impossible, give God the glory. After you overcome the impossible, and you will, there will be situations that there's no way out, and God makes a way where there wasn't a way. Haven't you had that happen? That's why it's a good thing to write down what God has done for you. Write down answers to your prayers, because maybe you're feeling overwhelmed right now. And if you would just reflect back a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago, what you were facing, and then remind yourself of what the Lord did, that'll give you encouragement in what you're facing right now.
Thanks for joining us for A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, Senior Pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California. Today, we're crossing the Red Sea with the Israelites as Pastor Greg leads our study of the life of Moses in a message called Between Impossible and More Impossible.
So they came to the other side and they sang a special song to God. By the way, this is the first song recorded in the Bible. It's Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I'll sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, and he has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He's given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So what happened? They walked through the Red Sea. They got to the other side, and the Lord brought the walls of water down on the pursuing Egyptian army. You might say, well, that seems very cruel on the part of God. Does it? Don't forget, Pharaoh drowned the baby Jewish boys just for being Jewish. And he was ready to kill the Israelites fleeing from him, including their children. I say Pharaoh simply reaped what he sowed. But here's the takeaway truth of this particular point of the story. And that is, remember to bring as much passion in your thanks that you offer to God after he answers your prayer as you put into the need before he answered your prayer. Does that make sense? So we're like on our knees. We're pleading with God. Oh, God, come through. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, change this. And the Lord does it. He does it. We say, amen, God, see you next crisis. Wait, what? Now you offer him the praise and the thanksgiving. And that is what the people of Israel did. They brought their praise to God. You know, we all have a Red Sea that we face in life. And by that, I mean something that stands in the way of the blessings of God. Because what was on the other side was the promised land. And we'll get to that later. That's where they were headed. But they had to get over first. They had to get to that destination. And maybe there's something in your path. You know, here, even at our church, we have a Red Sea in front of us, so to speak. And that's because we feel that the Lord wants us to go and make a difference in our world. You know, I'm called, as you know, to be both a pastor and an evangelist. Yes, I am schizophrenic. And this has always been sort of this a balancing act of my life, because when I first became a Christian, I did feel a call to evangelism. And in fact, as a young Christian, I went down and saw Billy Graham preaching in San Diego, and I thought, wow, that's what I would like to do when I grow up. A little did I ever dream that I would actually be doing something similar to it. But so I was out preaching the gospel and doing evangelistic ministry, and this little Bible study opportunity opened up for me here in Riverside. And it was a group of young people, and so we were studying together and praying together and building a community together, and it kept growing, and people started calling me Pastor Greg, and I'm like 20 years old. I'm thinking, I had been a Christian 3 years. I'm thinking, I can't be a pastor. I'm not qualified to be a pastor. I tried to get other people to take this little Bible study over, but nobody wanted to do it. And I realized God's calling me to do it. But I thought, how can I be an evangelist and a pastor? But I just continued to do both as the years went by. And then in 1990, the Lord opened up a new door to do large-scale evangelistic events. And we're thankful to the Lord for all that's been accomplished. But we're still doing both. And sometimes people ask me, what do you like doing more, Greg? Do you like being a pastor or do you like being an evangelist? And my answer might surprise some. What I like doing way more is being a pastor. That's where my heart is. That's where my passion is. I love that the most. I love to study the Word of God. I love to deliver the Word of God. I love to see the impact of the Word of God in the lives of people. And then I see it now passing on from generation to generation. The people that were kids and we started to become parents and their grandparents, and they're handing it on to their children. And it's just a wonderful thing to see. But I do feel a calling still to be an evangelist. And I love to do both. And so let me just wrap this message up with these thoughts. What looked like a hopeless situation turned out to be a time of glorious deliverance. Pharaoh's plan backfire. He thought, if I can just wipe these people out, that'll be the end of it. And he actually helped to bring about the plan of God. The same thing happened at the cross. You know, the devil never wanted Jesus to come. Remember when those wise men from the east came to Pharaoh saying that they followed the star, they had come to worship the one who was the king of the Jews. When Herod heard that, he flipped out. And he went and murdered all those Jewish baby boys, thinking he would stop Messiah from arriving. Obviously, that didn't work out. But then the devil changed his strategy and entered the heart of Judas Iscariot. And Judas betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. The devil thought he won. The devil thought he stopped Christ. In reality, the devil helped him fulfill prophecy, because God not only told us that his son would be born in a manger in Bethlehem, God not only told us that his son would die on a cross for the sin of the world and rise from the dead, but he told us it was all going to happen before it happened. And that was the plan and purpose of God from the beginning. The devil's plans will always backfire, and God will always have the last word, because God is bigger than your problem. So let me close with this. Do you have a relationship with God right now? Is Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger and died on that cross and rose again, living inside of you? God wants to come and live in our hearts and forgive us of all of our sins. And if you've never asked him to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, if you need Jesus to come into your life right now, I want to close with an invitation for you to believe in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. And I pray now for any person here, wherever they are, watching, listening, if they don't know you yet, let this be the moment they come to you and believe. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an invitation to get your heart right with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that today, Pastor Greg would love to help you right now.
The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will be doing just that, calling on the name of the Lord. So listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and take away your guilt and your shame, then just stop what you're doing and pray this prayer with me right now. Pray this after me if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your commandments. I have fallen short of your standards. But 2,000 years ago, you died on that cross for me. Then you rose again from the dead. So Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord and my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And if you've just earnestly prayed those words with Pastor Greg, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. And now we'd like to send some follow-up materials your way to help you begin to live a life of faith. Let us send you Pastor Greg's New Believers Growth Pack. It's a collection of resources that'll explain the basics of the Christian faith and get you started in this new journey. Just ask for a New Believers Growth Pack when you call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And the team would love the opportunity to pray with you too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, as our series of top 10 messages continues, Pastor Greg points out how to get a handle on our challenges simply by changing our perspective. We'll learn how our problems get smaller when we recognize the greatness of our God. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called Between Impossible and More Impossible. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media, station sponsor.